Welcome back to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. Water became a crisis during the recent drought in the West, but historically, water lands in the middle of fights of all kinds. Water law is an area of specialty now, and in early 2019, when the drought was no longer a headline, I talked with two experts, Professor Stephen McCaffrey at McGeorge School of Law. He also was the 2017 Stockholm Water Prize laureate. And Mary Kay Camarillo, Associate Professor of Civil Engineering at University of the Pacific. Because a new California governor was just taking office, I asked Dr. McCaffrey what might happen to former Governor Jerry Brown's Delta Tunnel project.
The tunnels would go under the Delta. I'm not an expert on them, but I think most people know about that. I'm suspicious of those kinds of things, of meddling too much with nature. We're already meddling a lot with it. And so I frankly wonder whether this is the best way to serve the needs that there are, both in the Valley and in the Los Angeles metropolitan area.
You raise the perspective, though, of looking at this question globally and what people are doing from an infrastructure standpoint globally with water. Professor Camarillo, do you have something to add there just in the idea of what we can build to move water that is a power far greater than anything we could possibly construct?
In California, our water system is so integrated. So you have a situation where people in some parts of the state, like in Southern California, are relying on a water supply that people here locally in the Central Valley are stewards of that water, kind of responsible for that water and keeping it in a good state. And so we just can't be in a situation where we're not thinking holistically about water. We have to think about the whole system. And I think it's really important for my students who are going out into the world and building these water projects to think about what's the big perspective, what's the impact we're going to have locally, but then also on people living in other parts of the state. So in California, water is important and is something that we have to think about as a whole.
Dr. McCaffrey, what to you is our wisest view of water, from a saleable, tradable commodity to it being a human right? Where I know you look at law as the frame, as necessary for human life, and therefore something that every person on this earth has a right to.
Much of the water on earth moves through the hydrologic cycle. And I think everyone learns about that in grammar school. Evaporation from the sea largely, falling as precipitation, either in the form of rain or snow, filling rivers, which in turn flow to the sea. So water is kind of quintessentially a shared natural resource. In that sense, it's also a quintessential international resource. We see the same thing playing out in California. Water falls as rain or snow in the Sierras, may stay there for a while, probably not so long now with climate change, but it flows down into the rivers and Sacramento River takes it down to the Delta and so forth.
The poetic, purest picture that is rife with politics and confrontation and even war in some places.
Exactly. Another thing that leads to conflict is precisely this kind of project. You have Muammar Gaddafi's great man-made river, which is formed of pipes big enough to drive a truck through that are filled with water from the southern part of Libya. And that water comes from a deep aquifer that's shared with, I think, four other countries. They're pumping water out from this deep aquifer into this enormous pipe and conveying it north to the Mediterranean. If that's not a recipe for conflict, when they draw down that aquifer to a place where neighboring countries can't afford to get it because they don't have the energy from oil that Libya has, that is going to breed conflict, I think, in the future. Israel takes water out of the Sea of Galilee through its national water carrier. The Sea of Galilee is fed by tributaries of the Jordan River. And so that also means that very little water comes out of the Sea of Galilee and flows back into the Jordan River below the Sea of Galilee. So Jordan relies on that. The Palestinians rely on that. And you, again, have a recipe for conflict. So when you move water, you're kind of setting up a potential conflict.
Just the act of moving it.
Either with, other parts of the state in California or other countries.
Where is California in its struggles over water compared to the rest of the world?
Fortunately, we're one state and we are a democracy. The fact that most of the votes seem to be in the southern part of the state may be responsible in part for the fact that we're moving so much water down there. So on the spectrum, I mean, we have had political conflicts over our water projects, but they've been managed and presumably will stay manageable. However, the more you subscribe to a philosophy that we need to get more water down there because the population is likely to grow, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Population will grow. Maybe a Northern Californian, I was born and raised in Northern California, would take a different perspective and say, look, they should limit their growth to not only the naturally occurring water, which would make Los Angeles a town of, I don't know, a couple hundred thousand, I guess, but a reasonable amount, perhaps, from the northern part of the state.
Where are students in their forward thinking about water, and how much of the responsibility for what happens in the future will land on them in this time of climate change?
I think one thing that's missing with young people is an awareness of water. And so sometimes, for example, I have a lot of K through 12 kids come in to the university and I talk to them and give a presentation. And the Calaveras River runs through our campus. So we'll go walk to the Calaveras and drop a bucket down and get a sample of water and take it back to the lab and do some things. It's kind of amazing how little awareness some kids have of water. So I ask them questions like, what are the main two rivers in California? And talk about the Delta and how important it is. And I always ask them, how many people do you think drink this water? You know, this Calaveras River is running through our campus. It's joining the San Joaquin River and feeding the Delta. And that water is providing a water supply for a lot of our state. They're really shocked when I tell them how many people drink that water.
And I don't even have a guess. How many?
It's about 25 million.
Really?
Yeah. And another thing I always ask the students or challenge them to think about where their water comes from, not just the faucet, but where does it come from? And I think really connecting with where your water comes from is really important. And also, where does it go when you're done with it? And so we have these conversations and they really get kids thinking. That's an important awareness that we need to encourage.
So from those very young, impressionable ages to the point where they might want to study international law, there's a lot of span in there. But the reality, Professor McCaffrey, is that international law around water is such an expanding field that University of the Pacific is just one place where classes have had to be added. Where are we going with this?
At McGeorge, which is the University of the Pacific's law school, we have actually a doctoral program in international water resources law, and we've had it for a number of years. That was born of the realization that, just as you say, this problem is becoming more global. More countries rely on shared water resources. We have this wild card of climate change, which is indeed changing a lot of things in the field of hydrology. So it's important to know the law as it's developed that governs the relations between countries sharing that water, but also to think ahead. It's taken maybe a century to develop international water law to the point that it is now, but that was all based on a climate that was much different than even than we have now, but certainly than we'll have in the future. So is the law going to be equipped and is the world going to be equipped to apply this legal regime that's developed in one climate scenario to a new scenario in this new era of climate change that some scientists are calling the Anthropocene, the age of the human? We humans have changed the climate and Earth's systems so much. So that's going to be the challenge.
Put a pinpoint on one aspect of this conversation as you see it. Looking ahead, what's one area where we have to focus and think in a new or different way?
Well, actually, what comes to mind immediately, perhaps because I am a Californian, is something we're experiencing here, but it's being experienced all over the world. All of South Asia depends on glacial melt and snow melt, just as we do here. Our largest reservoir in the state, we are fond of saying, is the Sierra snowpack. And yet, a lot of precipitation that used to fall as snow is now falling as rain. If it does fall as snow, it's melting faster. So is our infrastructure adequate? Do we have enough storage to deal with a lot of water that comes down at times that we're not used to? So that's, I think, a huge impact of climate change that we're already feeling that is going to result in shortages in parts of the world where the bulk of population live, such as South Asia and East Asia. They all rely on water from the Himalayas that comes from glacial melt or snow melt, and that's going to be melting faster. Probably, like in California, will be less snow.
I want to end with one final question that I don't mean to sound trite or silly, but if there is one word about water that we should be keeping in our mind, maybe in the last few years, the two words have been Delta Tunnels, but I think you're asking us to think about it differently. So if we apply a new word, maybe I continue to repeat, others continue to repeat about water as we look at our future, what would that be?
Mary Kay may have a different perspective, but mine would be cooperation because, again, water is the quintessential shared natural resource. And if you and I are sharing something and we each have our hand on it, we have to cooperate. Otherwise, neither of us gets much out of it.
I think that's great. Cooperation, also awareness, I think is important. We have more people in the world and less water, less fresh water. We really have to be aware of it as a valuable resource.
That was University of the Pacific Associate Professor of Civil Engineering Mary Kay Camarillo and Professor Stephen McCaffrey, the Carol Olson Endowed Professor of International Law at McGeorge Law School. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, Cap Radio.